see some that were sent back with us and others here as well. Good to see them all. So I'm just going to talk with you. Let that happen. I'm sure God is pleased, and I pray that our study and time spent together this morning will be a benefit to us as we strive to live the life that God has wanted us to live as we live upon this earth. We've been continuing our study on the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Last time in chapter 5, we talked about in verses 1 through 16 what the citizens in the kingdom looked like. Jesus started his sermon telling us the characteristics of people in his kingdom that will be in his kingdom. They will be meek. They will be pure in heart. They will be merciful. They'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the influence that people like this will have on the world. He says, we will be the salt and we will be the light. In chapters or verses 14 through 48, we saw the righteousness of the kingdom. He said, the righteousness of the kingdom, those that are in the kingdom must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The spiritual leaders of the time says, your faith has got to be better than that. He says, when it comes to murder and adultery and divorce, you've got to go beyond what the scribes and the Pharisees talk about. He says, it's not just the act of murder that's wrong, it's the attitude that you have when you murder, when you're about to murder someone, that the hatred that you have in the heart. He said, that has got to cease. And all these other things, he said, it's got to be more than it must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And last week, in chapter 6, we talked about verses 1 through 18, we talked about citizens of the kingdom of heaven are not hypocrites. We don't do things to be seen of men. We do things because they're right. We do things because we know that they will help people. And so we do that not so that we will get the praise, but God will get the praise for it. And so that's what kind of citizens in my kingdom are like. And today we're going to look in chapter 6. We're going to look at trusting in God is the theme of the last parts of these chapter 6. In verses 19 through 24, we're going to look at trusting in God more than material things. I mean, we live in a materialistic world. People, that's all they think about is getting more things and accumulating more money so you can buy more things. The thing that Jesus says, we're not concerned about that in my kingdom. He said, we're going to trust in God more than we trust in these material things. And then in chapters 25 through 34, we're going to be talking about trusting in God and not worrying. You see so much in worry in this world today. They hear things happening and see things happen and they start worrying about things. And Jesus says, people in my kingdom, we trust God. We don't worry like the rest of the world does. And so we're going to look at some things about that this morning. So let's get into our study this morning. Turn in your Bibles if you haven't to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin in verses 19 through 24. Talk about trusting God versus having confidence in material things. Let's read that first and get it in our mind. Matthew chapter 6. Begin in verse 19. He says, lay up not for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22. The light of the body is also the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. So as we begin this dissertation here in verses 19 through 21, Jesus ends with where your heart is, or where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Asking the question, do you make material things the center of your life? Is that where your heart is? Are earthly things the most important thing in your life, or the accumulation of things? Jesus says, not in my kingdom. If you remember, in my kingdom, we don't dwell on these things. We don't put too much importance on these things because we know that they can be lost. He says, moths will come in. And on the physical garments, they lay their eggs on a piece of cloth, on some valuable piece of cloth. And when the eggs hatch, they feed their young on the material that they're laying on. And they put holes in the material and ruin them. Doesn't matter what kind of things they are, they will ruin the material. And so Jesus says, don't put your riches there. He says, don't let your put your riches where they will rust and decay. Metal, precious metals, they will rust. They will decay. They will the rust will eat away to this metal thing until it's no good anymore. We know that in their cars years ago when they were made out of metal. All these precious cars that we had, yet we saw the rust just eat them away to where they were no good. They're too badly damaged to serve its purpose. It's no value to us anymore when the rust it away. And Jesus talked about how thieves, they can come in and steal your stuff too. They sneak into your house to steal valuable items that you have. They take them from you to better themselves. They care nothing for you, only to better themselves with your goods, your things of value. And so Jesus says, don't put your trust on riches and these things, these spiritual things. He says, we realize that earthly material things that are so easily can be lost. Fortunes can be lost in a single day. We've seen that throughout our lifetimes. The stock market crashes and people lose millions of dollars, lose everything, their houses, their boats, their vacation places. You get an economic crash and problems happen if you're relying on your material things. Jesus is not saying that we should not be concerned about material things at all. Don't get me wrong there. He's not saying we should never be concerned about material things. Because the Bible is full of instances where people did just that. Notice in Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. You remember the story of Joseph? How Pharaoh had some dreams, and God had given Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. And when he was in the prison, he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler. And they remembered Joseph, and they told the king that they knew a guy that could interpret your dreams. And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and Joseph came and interpreted his dreams. He told them there would be 7 years of plenty. The food would be abundant for 7 years. And after that 7 years, there would be 7 years of famine. And so we pick up the story in chapter 41, and notice verse 33. It says, Let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and send him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years, 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities, that food should be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So we see here, they're preparing for a famine. They're preparing for the future. They know that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, but they know there's 7 years of famine going to happen after that. And so Pharaoh selects Joseph, and it's Joseph's job now to gather up the food for the 7 years of plenty, make provisions for the future. See, Jesus isn't saying don't worry about any material things. He's saying just don't make them the centerpiece of your life, of your existence. Notice in Proverbs chapter 8, a very good lesson. You hear some lessons on quite a bit. The ant, how they use the ant for an example. In Proverbs chapter 6, notice what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no captain, overseer, or ruler, but provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? He talks about the ant, the example that it sets. It's busy gathering food in the summer for the winter months. So Jesus says it's not wrong to think about the future, material things. Sometimes we need that. And he says Solomon uses the example of the ant. He knows that winter is coming, and he makes provision for it. And what about in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8? Paul tells young Timothy in the first letter he writes to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he writes to him, but if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We need to take care of each other, take care of our families, Paul wrote to Timothy there. And so Jesus is not saying we should not be concerned about material things at all. That's not what he's saying at all. But don't make them the most important things of our lives, the center of our lives. There are more important things that we need to focus on, and that means spiritual things. absolute trust in God. You see, if the material things in life get the most attention, Jesus says that's where your heart is. If all you're thinking about and doing is with material things, Jesus says that's where your heart is. Your heart is in the wrong place. Jesus is not so concerned about what's in your pocket, but what's in your heart. What does God see in your heart? Is he seeing material things? Or is he seeing the spiritual things of life? In verses 22 and 20 through 24, Jesus talks about single-minded devotion. He says the eye is the source of the body. If the eye is healthy, some of your versions may say single, but that word actually means healthy, then the body is full of light. Goodness. The light is the goodness, and it lets light into the body. And much good is accomplished by that. In verse 22, but if the eye is unhealthy or evil, some of your versions will say, the body will be full of darkness and full of evil things. The eye he's talking about is our spiritual eye. The light of the body, our minds. Our minds cannot be clouded with evil things. If the mind is focused on material things, then the mind is blurred and darkness and sinful things come in. We lose our proper focus. Jesus here is telling us we've got to have a single eye or a healthy mind that trusts in God. Our focus is on him and his ways. And we see it in verse 24. He says our loyalty cannot be divided. He says no one can serve two masters. You ever have two masters at your work, two bosses? You have to report to both of them? How does that ever work out? Are they ever on the same page? Never. They never want the same thing. It seems like they're different. Trying to get the same place to go from different paths and expect you to follow both of them. Jesus says it won't work. He says if we think we can be faithful in the kingdom of heaven and also be devoted to material things, Jesus says you can't. It will never work. He says you will always be divided. Jesus says your focal point has got to be spiritual things. Things where your loyalties lies. And where your focus is focused upon good things. Not material things, but spiritual things. Some people are more focused on their car and their house and their jobs and their bank accounts than they are of spiritual things. And Jesus says, that's not to be in my kingdom. In my kingdom, our focus, our loyalties, our motivation is to be in trusting God and not in material things. And lastly, he talks in verses 25 through 34. He talks about worry. Notice how what he says about worry. Matthew chapter 6. And let's pick up in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that you what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking any thought, can add one cubit unto your life, unto your stature? And why take ye a thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God has so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. We see in verse 25, he says, therefore. Therefore, because we trust in God more than our riches, therefore, Jesus says, don't worry. We should have total trust and confidence in God, and we should have no need to worry about things in life. We talk about worry. This word worry is translated to be troubled. It affects our lives in a bad way. Remember in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha? And Martha is scrambling around trying to get the food already prepared, and Mary is just sitting there and listening at Jesus' feet. And Lay leaves the preparing of the meal to Martha. Martha approaches Jesus and said, Lord, my sister here is sitting at your feet doing nothing, and she leaves it all up to me to get all this stuff prepared. Tell her to help me. Remember what Jesus said? Martha, you worry too much. Mary has chosen the good things. Don't worry about the food. I'm not going to starve to death if it's a few minutes late. Mary has chosen the good. She's not worried about things. She has chosen to listen to God. So, Martha, you're too focused on material things, this food that you're all prepared about. Mary has chosen to focus on spiritual things and spiritual life. And Jesus tells her not to worry so much. Again, Jesus is not condemning the thoughtful planning for the future. I mean, Jesus is not saying we shouldn't think about retirement or the kids growing up and things like that and what our life is going to be like. But he says, but put the first things important in your life. He says in verse 33, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put those first in your life. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We're going to go on to do some other things that he's taught here, and then we'll come back to that. But can you see the sheer folly of worrying? It's useless. He says, what is more important than worry, of more value than food and clothing? He says, the life and the body. If God gave you life and body, don't you think God will give you food and clothing as well? He gives the example in verse 26 about the birds of the air. How do they feed? How do they survive? They don't plant seeds. They don't harvest any grain or plants. They don't store them up for the winter months. Where do they get food and shelter and clothing? Jesus says, God takes care of them. Then he asks them, aren't you worth more than birds of the air to God? Don't you think you're worth a little more to God than just birds of the air? We tend to forget that life and body are more important than food and clothes. Many times we put too much emphasis on these things. Do you ever experience a person that's about to die? They've suffered a horrible fate. Maybe they had some bad disease or whatever, and the health of their body is taken away from them. Now they're only waiting to die. What do you think they're thinking about? You think they're thinking about food? Boy, I hope dinner comes, and I hope it's something good. Maybe some steak and potatoes. You think they wonder about their clothes? Boy, I wonder how I look in that new fashion. Will it make me look fat? Is that what they're thinking about? Or are they thinking about their lives and their body and their health? And their life is about to come to an end. You think they have flashes back in their life? Some good things that they did and maybe some bad things. The health that they no longer have. You think they'll be thinking about, I wish I would give anything if I could do blank again. I would give anything if my health would come back, that I would allow me to do this one thing. Or they're thinking about food and clothing. Jesus says, don't wait till you're in that position when life and body are taken from us to realize how valuable they are. How important life and body are. Realize this now and stop worrying about senseless things, about food and clothing. In verses 27 through 29, Jesus says that worrying doesn't make a bit of good. Doesn't do a bit of good. Notice in verse 27. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought of for raiment, but consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil, and neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Worrying doesn't do a bit of good. A cubit, he says here that you can add one cubit to your stature. A cubit is about 18 inches, according to the biblical standard. And it's usually from the tip of your finger to your elbow. But usually, in most people, it's about 18 inches. And they use that to measure all kinds of things. And so when he talks about what person by worrying about your life can add one cubit to your stature. There's some discussion between what he's talking about here is stature. Some think it may be the physical height. You know, stop worrying about how tall you are. You know, I was 6'4", but I worried about my height. I worried about it. And look, now I'm 8 foot tall. Jesus said, who can do that? Who, by worrying about your body, can actually make it grow 18 inches? You'd be lucky if you get it to grow one. Usually it goes the other way. So some think it's the physical height that he's talking about. Others are thinking about it. It may be the lifespan. If you had a timeline of your life, over here is where you began, and then you draw a line, and way far away, this is where it's going to end. For some people, that old people that may live a long lifetime, maybe that lifeline may be miles long. And Jesus says, what person, by worrying about your life, could add 18 inches to that timeline? Instead of stopping here, you're going to worry about stuff, and it's going to go another 18 inches. You've extended your life 18 inches. Jesus says, who can do that? Worrying doesn't do any good. How long will I live? Nobody knows but God. People worry themselves sick over things they have no control over. They constantly focus on this one thing, until it ruins their lives. And Jesus says it's not going to do any good. We can't change a thing. We can't change how long we live. We can't change various things in our lives. So why worry about them? Jesus says it's a waste of time. It's not going to do any good. And notice verse 28 and 29. He talks about the raiment and the clothes. He talks about the lilies of the field. This is just one example. They come in many different sizes or shapes and sizes and colors. He says, look at how beautiful the lilies of the field are. They don't work to make themselves beautiful. God takes care of that. They're not fretting and making themselves sick over it. God takes care of the things that are beyond our ability to do. He says worrying does no good at all. So why worry? Then he talks about in verse 30 through 34 how worrying shows our lack of faith. He says in verse 30, the grass of the field, it grows, it dies, it's cast into the fire, and it's gone. Who makes grass to grow again? God does. And if God takes care of the grass, God will take care of you. Oh, you of little faith, he says. Don't we have more faith than this, that God will take care of us? In verses 31 and 32, he talks about the Gentiles, the heathen people, those who don't know God and don't care about knowing God. He says, don't be like them. They're always seeking for physical things in life. Food and drink and clothes. They're constantly worrying about such things. But you believers in God need not be concerned about such things. God knows that you need these things. He created us. He knows everything about us. We come to verse 34. He says, why worry about tomorrow? Things that might not even happen. He says, there's enough trouble for each day. If you're going to worry about something that's going to happen, that's happening right now, today. Don't worry about tomorrow. About things that may never happen. It's useless. Can we see how foolish it is to worry needlessly? He says when we do that, we don't understand the value of things, of spiritual things. Things of God are more important than the material things that we have on earth. He says it doesn't do any good to worry. We have no control over some things. We cannot affect the outcome one bit. So why worry about them? Jesus says worrying shows our lack of faith. How we don't trust in God to take care of us. And he says, we have enough trouble on each day. We don't need to be looking for more, thinking about what lies ahead and worrying about those things. He says, stop worrying about tomorrow. It may never come. So what's the answer to worry? How can we stop doing it and learn to trust in God? This is where we come to verse 33. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. To seek means that we're striving for something. We go after it. We want it, and we want it bad. And so we go after it, and we keep on after it until we get it. He says, that's the attitude you need to have as you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This kingdom that lies within us, that God would rule in our hearts. His kingdom and his righteousness are first in my life. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm going after. Remember in Luke chapter 17, Jesus talked again about this kingdom of God. Notice what he said in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is saying, we're not going to observe some physical kingdom and say, okay, the borders on this river here and then these mountains here. Jesus said, you're not going to be able to see it, the kingdom of God, that way. You're not going to be able to see its gates and its walls, because he says the kingdom of God is within the heart of the child of God who searches for it. Jesus says, put it first in your life. Put it of utmost importance in your life and put it in your heart. Hold it close and hold it dear. He said, and that's the answer to all these problems of life. This worry is dependent upon material things, and learn to trust in God. Jesus says, if you will do this, put God's kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you. Food, clothing, and shelter, and life in general will be much better. Don't let material things be your focal point in your life. Don't worry about these material things. What am I going to do for the future? When we seek the kingdom of God and put it first in our lives, Jesus says, God will give me all the material things that I need in life. Not my wants, but the things that I truly need. Food, clothing, shelter. The question is, do you trust God to deliver? Do you trust him? If you do those things that he says, do you trust him that he will deliver? Or will we hold back and worry needlessly for those things? We need to learn to trust God, and that's what Jesus, these verses here in Matthew chapter 6 are all about. Trusting in God over your material things. Trusting God over worrying. God knows what we need. God knows the things that we need in life. He created us. And he loves us. And he will do everything he can to take care of us, as he takes care of the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the flowers, the grass. We're much more valuable to him than those. We need to realize that, and we need to learn to put our trust into him, that he will provide. Let me close this morning the passage from Psalm chapter 33, verse 21. The psalmist writes, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." Trusting in God and his kingdom is of utmost importance in our lives. If we're trusting the riches in this world, it will bring no help. We can't try to serve riches and serve God as well. Jesus says it will never work. Forget the material things and the riches and just trust in God, because that works every time. Every time we put trust in God, it will come through. God will not forsake us. God will not harm us. He will deliver us, he promises, if we will trust in him. I ask you this morning, do you trust in God? Do you trust him to get you to heaven? God had a plan in John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? Do you trust God that that will be enough to get you to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus is God's son? Are you willing to confess him before men? Turn your life from your life of sin and turn to God and trust him. Be baptized in water and have those sins forgiven, as Peter told those Jews in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you'll be baptized, your sins can be washed away. And you can learn to trust God. Put his kingdom first in your life, in his ways, his righteousness, that you might have eternal life. There may be some here this morning that maybe you've lost your trust in God. You've gone after the material things in life. That's been your focus for a while. And you see the fruitlessness of that. You want to trust God again. You can do that today as well. Come repenting of your sins, turn your life back over to God. Begin to continue to trust God and put him first in your life. And God will forgive you. And you can again, once again, be part of his kingdom. Are there any here this morning that are subject to the Lord's invitation this morning? We ask that you come while we stand and sing.